Well, back in 2004, Morgan Spurlock directed and starred in that documentary movie that we just saw the clip from. It's called Supersize Me. So for 30 days, as he said, he ate nothing but McDonald's, three meals a day. His health was closely monitored by several different doctors. At the end of 30 days, his weight went from 185 to 210 pounds. Body fat went from 11% to 18%. His cholesterol went from 165 to 230. And maybe it's a coincidence, maybe it's not, but many fast food chains really started offering more fruits and salads and yogurt choices after that movie was released than they ever did before. Now, nobody in their right mind eats three meals a day at McDonald's, but there's a lot not to like about the kind of fast food lifestyle that many people live today. Now, on another kind of note, I read a really funny story some years ago called The Exercise Diary. Let me just share this real quickly with you. It says, for my birthday this year, my wife bought me a week of private lessons at the local health club. I called and made reservations with someone named Tanya, who said she's a 26-year-old aerobics instructor and an athletic clothing model. My wife seemed pleased with how enthusiastic I was to get started. Day one. They suggest I keep this exercise diary to chart my progress this week. Started the morning at 6 a.m. Tough to get up, but worth it when I arrived at the health club and Tanya was waiting for me. She's something of a goddess with blonde hair and dazzling white smile. She showed me the machines and took my pulse after 5 minutes on the treadmill. She seemed a little alarmed that it was so high, but I think just standing next to her added about 10 points. Tanya was very encouraging as I did my sit-ups, though my gut was already aching a little from holding it in the whole time I was talking to her. This is going to be great. Day two. Took a whole pot of coffee to get me out the door, but I made it. Tanya made me lie on my back and push this heavy iron bar up into the air. Then she put weights on it. My legs were a little wobbly on the treadmill, but I made it the full mile. Her smile made it all worth it. Muscles feel great. Day three. The only way I could brush my teeth is by laying my toothbrush on the counter and moving my mouth back and forth across it. Driving was okay as long as I didn't try to steer. Tanya was a little impatient with me and said my screaming was bothering the other members at the club. Day four, Tanya was waiting for me with her vampire teeth in full snarl. I can't help it if I was a half hour late. It took me that long just to tie my shoes. I hid in the men's room until she sent Lars in looking for me. Day five. I hate Tanya. I hate Tanya more than any human being has ever hated another human being in the history of the world. If there was any part of my body not in extreme pain, I would hit her with it. She thought it would be a good idea to work on my triceps today. I got news for you, Tanya. I don't have triceps. Day six. Got Tanya's message on my answering machine wondering where I am. I can't even lift the remote control. I watched 11 straight hours of the Weather Channel. Day seven. Well, that's the week. Thank goodness it's over. Maybe next time my wife will give me something a little more fun like a root canal or a kidney stone. You know, when it comes to physical health, I think people often go from one to two extremes. Some people are just all about physical fitness. They exercise several hours a day. They count calories and they measure every gram of fat. And they are working on sculpting, bulging muscles and the perfect six-pack. And there's nothing wrong with that lifestyle as long as they don't get out of balance, right? As long as spiritual health and emotional health remain a priority. As long as family and other relationships aren't neglected in the process. You know as well as I do, for some people, they swing the pendulum the opposite extreme. Physical fitness becomes this all-consuming passion. It's not about being healthy. It's a desperate search for perfection. I mean, why are steroids such a problem in professional sports? Part of it's about enhancing ability, but it's also about sculpting the perfect body. People will go to any lengths necessary, sometimes even illegal, to boost their performance. You ever wonder why those stick-thin fashion models on the runway always look so angry? It's because they're hungry, you know? I mean, come on. Who buys the stuff that they're wearing? Nobody looks like that. I mean, the truth is, some people are really obsessive about their bodies. But then people also go to the opposite extreme. And people don't care at all about their bodies. They don't care about fitness. They eat a steady diet of garbage. You know, it's three meals a day at McDonald's. I heard a comedian say one time that his idea of exercise was eating faster. You know, listen, somewhere between sort of worshiping our body and this extreme over here of abusing and not taking care of it all, there's a healthy balance in the middle. But now let's be honest this morning. Some of you are thinking this doesn't feel like a very spiritual sermon. I mean, if you're a guest today, maybe you're thinking, oh, this is one of those churches that doesn't care about the gospel. All they talk about is being healthy and wealthy. They're all about appearance, all about fluff. I mean, look, they even hired a pastor who looks like a movie star. So, I mean, I know what you're thinking, okay? In my defense, last week we talked about the power of the cross. Get online, listen to that message, all about the gospel. But the reality is, I think it's important that we talk about physical health. The Bible says that your body is the temple of God. The Apostle Paul said that we should honor God with our body. The book of Psalms says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Some of us are a little more fearful, others a little more wonderful, but the reality is God made all of us. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. So we eat to the glory of God, and we jog to the glory of God. We lift weights to the glory of God. We bathe. We even sleep to the glory of God, just not right now. I'm just saying, everything we do to take care of ourselves can honor the Lord. Now, maybe you're thinking, why does it matter what I do with my body? If you want to take care of yourself, that's fine. I don't want to take care of myself, and that's my choice, right? Well, yeah, it is your choice. But I think that God has some things to say about that. So let me show you some principles that I think are based on some key verses in the Bible here that are based on them. First of all, our bodies are an amazing gift from God. Psalm 139 begins, O Lord, you've examined my heart. You know everything about me. And then he jumped down to verse 13. He says, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the darkness of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. King David writes here that God was intentional about how he made us, how we were crafted, how we were formed, how we were knit together. Now, that doesn't mean that every birth defect was an intentional design of God. It doesn't mean that a baby who's born won't need some medical attention. But what it does mean is that God made us, he designed us, that we should be confident that he knew what he was doing when he put us together. I mean, think about it. The God who created us made us an amazingly complex, intricately designed machine. Now, are our bodies perfect? No. If I ask for a show of hands of anybody here who's perfectly satisfied with your body, you would not change a single thing if you had a chance. I doubt that any hands would go up. I am not going to ask you to do that because if somebody did raise their hand, we would all hate you. Okay. But the reality is nobody has a perfect body, and we get that. But our bodies are still an amazing gift from God. God gave us our bodies, and then he gave us a responsibility to take care of them, to take care of this gift that he's given. You know, we often talk about the importance of stewardship. We talk about managing the financial resources that we've been blessed with, but we also have a duty to exercise proper stewardship when it comes to our health. But, you know, a lot of us just don't see it that way. We harm our bodies through neglect or abuse. I heard on the radio several years ago that Cookie Monster of the TV show Sesame Street would no longer eat only cookies. In an attempt to help battle child obesity, cookies were sometimes food for Cookie Monster, but he would also talk about healthy eating. Now, at that time, when that news report came out, Cookie Monster had been on Sesame Street for 40 years. So he was discovering what all of us over 40 know, that when you turn 40, you got to start eating differently, you know. I mean, you just do. Now, listen, I understand that there are genetic issues and medical issues and glandular, you know, and metabolic reasons for weight and health problems. It's a reality that our bodies come in different shapes and different sizes. Two people could eat the exact same thing, exercise the same way, and look very different. But it's also a reality that many of us do mistreat our bodies with bad fuel and no regular maintenance. I was shocked by this. I read a couple years ago that Dr. Richard Swenson said that about 200 years ago, Americans consumed an average of 2 pounds of sugar per year. That's about 1/5 of kind of an average 10-pound bag of sugar. Today, the average for an American is about 150 pounds of sugar consumed per year. 15 10-pound bags. It's no wonder we have no energy. We're constantly coming off of a sugar high. Proverbs 25:27 says, it's not good to eat too much honey. The Message paraphrase renders that verse, it's not smart to stuff yourself with sweets. You know, times haven't changed much. People back then were having to be warned not to overdo it on the sweets either. But here's a question. Am I honoring God when I sit down at the table to eat? Am I honoring God when I exercise or when I don't? Again, 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. If our bodies are a gift from God, then that should motivate us to want to take care of this gift. But maybe that's not enough. Maybe you need a little more. So the irony here about the gift of God is that he loans the gift to us, but it really belongs to him. See, our bodies actually belong to God. 1 Corinthians 6:19, this is kind of what the series, we're doing a 3-week series, this is what's based on, is these verses. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. You must honor God with your body. You know, the temple in the Old Testament was the place where God chose to live. I mean, of course, God's everywhere, but in a very tangible, specific way, his presence came into the temple in Jerusalem. It was an amazing thing. We have specific directions about the design and the care of the temple. People gave their best for the temple. And the finest artists and craftsmen worked skillfully to build the temple to very precise specifications. And then God's presence literally came into that place. But then along comes the New Testament, and it says, you know what? We don't need that Old Testament temple anymore, because now you are the temple of God. God has chosen to live in you and in me. His Spirit is in us. We are his dwelling place. You know, we often say things like, you know, it's my body. I can do with it whatever I want. One of the arguments that people make for abortion is, nobody can tell me what I can do with my body. But I got news for you. It's not your body. It's not my body. The Bible says that we belong to God. In fact, it says that we were bought at a high price. And what's the price? Well, 1 Peter 1:18 says, not with perishable things such as silver or gold were you redeemed, were you purchased, but with the precious blood of Christ. It's not just that God owns us. He paid an incredibly high price for us. He sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. And because God made us, and because Jesus died for us, that means that we are, that you are incredibly valuable. That being the case, I think it only makes sense that we ought to take care of this gift that God has given to us. We need to take care of our bodies. They need proper maintenance. You've heard the old line, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, that's not really true. Rather, if you don't want things to break, you have to maintain them and take care of them along the way. You don't wait for your car to break down before you change the oil or put radiator fluid in or replace the tires. Well, maybe you do, but you don't if you want it to last. You do maintenance to keep it going. The same goes for our bodies. Rather than just waiting for stuff to break and then fixing it, if we would take care of things along the way, some preventative maintenance can go a long way. Now, you know what that means. Two words you don't like. I mean, I understand. Diet and exercise. I mean, there they are. It had to be said, and so I said them. People go to extremes with food just like they do with exercise. I mean, some people are just obsessed with food, and they weigh everything, and they're reading labels all the time, and they freak out. You know, they have a cookie, and they're depressed for a week. You know, I mean, come on. Things like that can lead to food, to eating disorders. But you go to the opposite extreme of that, and we've got food addictions. I saw a sweatshirt that one time said, just hand over the chocolate, nobody will get hurt. You know, we can laugh about that, but the reality is sometimes we get so addicted to food that it controls us instead of the other way around. People eat like there's no tomorrow, no self-control. It could be caffeine, it might be sugar, chocolate, fast food, junk food, candy, any number of things. We can get out of balance. You remember Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the Old Testament? They were taken into slavery, And then they were chosen for special duty because they were strong and they had healthy bodies and were handsome. They were offered this royal food that would have been much more appealing to everybody than to what the slaves were normally getting. But Daniel chapter 1 verse 18 says, or verse 8 says, Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself that way. And so with reluctance, this royal official granted his request. He said, you can eat whatever you choose to eat as long as you don't lose your healthy features. And then in verse 15 it says, at the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away the choice food and the wine that the others were eating and drinking and gave them vegetables instead. I have a theory that this is really why Daniel got thrown into the lion's den, because everybody was mad because they had to eat vegetables. I could be wrong about that. Just a thought. Listen, it takes discipline to say no to certain things and yes to other things, especially in our culture of hectic schedules and fast food. Comedian Tim Hawkins talks about how we pray that God would bless this meal that we're sitting down to eat. And he says, seriously, you're asking God to bless that? Look at your plate. You've got a bag of Cheetos and a jumbo Dr. Pepper. You're saying, please, Lord, change the molecular structure of this garbage I'm about to put into my body and bring some nutrition out of it somehow. Please change this Cheeto into a carrot stick on the way down. I mean, God's like, give me a break. It was easier to change water into wine than to make what you're eating nutritious. Maybe we ought to be praying before we order instead of praying before we eat. The truth is, probably all of us could make some healthier choices at times. You know, back when I was in grade school, which was like the late Paleozoic period, I think. Anyway, we were taught that there were four major food groups, okay? Breads and grains, fruits and vegetables, milk and dairy, and meat, right? And they talked about eating a balanced diet in the four major food groups. Then in 1992, the USDA came out with what they called the Food Guide Pyramid. This helped bring on the fat gram craze of the 90s. Remember that? People were all worried about not having fat. All fat is bad. So proponents reasoned that if you ate more carbohydrates, you'd eat less fat. So people started eating a lot of grains. Only they didn't eat good grains. They ate junk food. Anything that didn't have fat in it. And some scientists have suggested now that this pyramid may be one of the contributors to the epidemic of obesity in our country today. And so they've thrown out the food pyramid now. Because what people were doing is, all right, no fat, we'll eat lots of carbs. Those carbs just turned into sugar. So today, rather than a pyramid for everybody, there are tools out there that can help you find out how to eat healthy, how to plan for your own age, gender, height, weight, that kind of thing, physical activity. There's a couple of websites. Maybe this doesn't interest you at all, but here's a couple of websites that might be helpful for you. You could jot these down if you like. Healthfinder.gov offers information on healthy eating and exercise and how to make a plan and just some good articles. And then the second one is CalorieKing.com, which kind of helps you choose foods that are right for you. Okay. Whatever you do, the key is balance, okay? I'm not an expert, but I've talked to people who know a lot more about this than I do, and most nutritionists agree that if you're eating a diet that leaves out major groups and only eats other groups, probably that's going to be a short-term solution to being healthy or to losing weight, but that's probably not very sustainable, and it's not the best thing for your body. We need a balanced diet. We need to be cautious about what goes in. And listen, healthy does not necessarily mean skinny. Because our bodies are shaped differently, your ideal weight, what's best for you, what's average for you is going to be different than somebody else. Don't let the magazine models set up expectations that you're never going to be able to attain. The reason they're on the cover of the magazine is because they're different than everybody else. And the reality is that picture's been doctored up anyway. So don't let that try to make you feel like you need to look a certain way. Have you ever heard of the BMI scale, the body mass index? You put in your height and your weight, and it tells you if you're underweight, healthy, overweight, or obese. But scales like that leave absolutely no room for body type. I have a friend up in Indiana. His name's Craig. According to the BMI chart, Craig is obese. Every year, his company makes them do the BMI chart. It affects your insurance. Every year, he has to check that he's obese, and it impacts his insurance. Craig is a rock I mean, he is perfectly chiseled. He is a beast. I have run into him on the basketball court. Believe me, I knew it. I don't think he even noticed. I mean, he is one muscle. But muscle weighs more than fat, so every year he checks obese in the box because of this body mass index, which is just a crock. So don't let these kind of general things like that define you, okay? The goal is just to be healthy. The goal is a balanced lifestyle. Take care of the body that God's given to you. Now, to be fair, we ought to remember that God gave us the gift of food, and it is a pleasing gift. Ecclesiastes 9:7 says, eat your food with gladness. We don't live to eat, but we don't just eat to live either. God gave us 10,000 taste buds so that we could enjoy the food that we put into our mouths. I'm telling you, sometimes eating a Krispy Kreme donut is a spiritual experience, okay, especially when the sign says hot out front. So, you know, I'm not talking about going crazy. I'm just saying there needs to be balance. Balance includes eating well. It also includes exercise. Maybe you heard about the guy who signed up for an aerobics class. The instructor said, hey, don't forget to wear loose-fitting clothing. He said, if I had loose-fitting clothing, I wouldn't be taking the class. This guy wrote an article one time, a Christian author, and he said, you know, the Bible doesn't say much at all about physical exercise. We're not told to physically exercise. You don't hear really much about that. Maybe it's not a big deal. But then he said this. You think about the people in that time period. They sowed crops, they herded sheep, they fetched water. Exercise was a way of survival. They walked everywhere that they went. People in the Bible times had to be told to rest. They didn't have to be told to exercise. But our culture today is just different. It's not that we're lazy, we work hard. But we have escalators and we have moving sidewalks and we have drive-through restaurants and we hire a lawn service to take care of the yard. We spend more time watching sports on television than playing any sports. We circle the parking lot 3 times looking for a parking place up close to the door. We drive a half mile to get to the health club so we can go inside and we can work out. I mean, you think about with Netflix and takeout at the drive-thru and Kroger checklist delivery, you could spend entire days in the recliner with nothing but bathroom breaks. I told somebody the other day that when I was growing up, I was a remote control. And they were like, what? I said, oh, yeah, my dad would say, would you change the channel? I'd have to hop up and go change the channel. We don't have to do that anymore, right? We don't have the kind of activity that we used to have. Few of us get the kind of exercise that we need to stay healthy. Again, not an expert. I don't want to belabor the point. But the Maryland Heart Center recommends 30 minutes a day of activity. Not necessarily all at once, but just pleasure walking or yard work or climbing the stairs. Park in the back of the lot and walk in instead of right up at the front. Walk 9 holes of golf instead of riding in a cart, that kind of thing. But they also say that 3 or 4 times a week, you need to work up a sweat, get your heart rate up, 30 to 60 minutes of that kind of activity. You know, running, jogging, walking briskly, jumping rope, swimming, bicycling, roller skating. I'm not talking about being obsessive about your health. Just saying, it takes some effort. 1 Timothy 4:7 says, train yourself to be godly. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. Now, these verses are primarily about training yourself to be godly, but it says that physical training is good. In the New International Version, it says physical training is of some value. It's important to take care of our bodies. Why? Well, not to have a perfectly chiseled physique and not to impress women and intimidate other men. I did have a woman whistle at me one time while I was riding my bike a couple years ago, but I think it was a sympathy whistle, truthfully. But anyway, it's not about getting attention. It's not, hey, look at me. Look how perfect my body is. It's about taking care of ourselves, not even just to keep health costs down, although that's a benefit. It's because taking care of your body honors God. Good health provides more opportunity, provides more years to serve the Lord. If we have no self-control, we don't take care of our bodies at all, I think it can harm our witness. Here's a bottom line today, if you'd like to have just a summary statement. Your body is a tool to serve and honor God. My body's a tool to serve and honor God. Keeping ourselves reasonably fit and healthy allows us to serve God better and honor Him more completely. Now, the truth is, you probably haven't heard much of anything today that you didn't already know. When we talk about spiritual health, we always say, read your Bible and pray every day. Read your Bible and pray every day. We hammer that home all the time. We talk about physical health, we say you got to watch what you eat and you got to exercise. Diet and exercise. All right, that's what it comes down to. But here's the reality. We know that stuff. It's just that oftentimes we don't do it. It takes discipline. There's no shortcuts to health, whether it's physical health or spiritual health. You just have to discipline yourself, train yourself to live a healthy life. You know, when I was a senior in high school, I really, really wanted to play on the basketball team at Cincinnati Bible College. I had met the coach that summer at a church camp. He encouraged me to try out for the team. So the summer before my freshman year of college, I worked like crazy to get ready for the fall. I was the janitor at Sizzler Steakhouse from 10 at night until 2 in the morning every night. And so what I would do is I would work, get off around 2 or so. I'd go home, and the weather was a little cooler at night. I would run wind sprints up and down the street for about 30 minutes. And then I would go to bed at about 3, get up at 10. I'd lift weights. And then I would, you know, eat breakfast. I'd ride my bike to the gym at our church. I'd shoot ball for an hour or so. I'd come home, eat lunch. And then I would run 3 or 4 miles. I'd come home and eat supper. And then I would go to the basketball courts at Moore High School, and I'd play basketball for a couple hours. I'd come home and shower and go to work. I just did that every day. And when I got to college, 3 things became clear. First of all, I was in the best shape of my life. I've never been in that good a shape before or since. Secondly, I was not good enough to play basketball at Cincinnati Bible College. We had gone from a very mediocre team that year to we won 3 national championships in a row in our Bible college conferences. And the third thing was, I realized that for me at that stage of life, preparing for ministry was more important than disciplining myself as thoroughly as I would have had to try to play ball and play sports in college. And there were guys on the team that were great pastors. You know, they did it well. For me, I'm just saying for me, I realized that there were more important things that I needed to focus on than playing sports. Ultimately, what we do with our bodies says a lot about what we think about God and what we think He thinks about us. God tells us that our bodies are a gift, and that as we use our bodies well, as we take care of them, it allows us to serve Him and to honor Him better. Your body's a tool. My body's a tool. And if we use it well, we can serve and we can honor the Lord. Let's pray. God, we thank You for this gift that You've given to us. And some of us, truthfully, maybe complain a lot about our bodies. There's so many things we wish were different, things we wish we could change. But that the incredible design of how You have made us, the more we learn about our bodies, the more convinced we become that there was a designer who knew exactly what He was doing. And yet, God, there are things that hurt, there are things that don't work, there are things about our bodies we wish we could change. Help us to do the best we can with what we have. Help us to take care of this gift You've given so that we can serve You better, so that we can serve You longer. And God, we know that our time is in Your hands. We know that our lives are in Your hands. We just want to devote to You all that we are, physically as well as spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. So take us today and use us, we pray, in Jesus' name.